there is more. And we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I've entitled tonight's lesson, The More Factor. The More Factor is simply about experiencing more of God. It's about expectancy concerning the Holy Spirit. What we can expect from the Holy Spirit, who now lives and operates within us. If you are a born-again child of God, the Holy Spirit was imparted to you at salvation. It's supernatural. That's what makes us born again. It's what gives us a spiritual rebirth. But that is only the beginning point. So the more factor is about yielding our personalities to the flow of the Holy Spirit. The more factor is about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and subsequent infillings that follow. And it's very important, I think, to emphasize that. It is about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and subsequent infillings that follow. In other words, we keep going deeper, you know, because there is more, right? So that's the idea. So at the moment of salvation, think of this, at the moment of salvation, we receive Christ, who is our point of entry into the plan and purpose of God. Because at that moment, we experience a spiritual rebirth. So that is our point of entry into the plan of God, into the purpose of God, into all that God has for us. But we don't stay at the entry point, or we should not. Many do, unfortunately. But we should not stay at the entry point. We advance into the fullness of God. So let me say some things on that thought right there, advancing into the fullness of God. John 1:16, it says this, for out of his fullness, of course this is all, you know, the Gospel of John focuses on the person of Christ as the Son of God, and this is all about Jesus. It says, for out of his fullness, I love this in the Amplified Bible because we have that word abundance. Out of his fullness or abundance, we have all received. Do you see it? Point of entry. All right? Point of entry. We have all received. Out of his fullness, his abundance, we have all received. All had a share, and we were all supplied with. And notice this. One grace after another. See, we're talking about the more factor, so I want you to see this tonight. One grace after another. Let's read a little further. And spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing. And even favor upon favor. Doesn't stop there. And gift heaped upon gift. Now, notice that this verse brings us to the point of origin in Jesus Christ. Jesus represented the fullness of God because he was the very expression of the fullness of God in human form. Listen to how Paul describes it in Colossians 1. He says, for this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased, he's writing to the church body, we have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you may be filled with a deep, with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. Remember, point of origin into his purpose and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. We're talking about a progression here. We're talking about a more factor. Then he says this, that you may walk, that you may live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, steadily growing, increasing in and by the knowledge of God. Look at this, we're talking about fullness, right? With fuller, deeper, clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. That's fullness in human form defined right there. So catch this. So at the moment of spiritual rebirth, we step into the abundance that flows from God. We step into it. It's a point of entry. So we enter into the spiritual dynamic of the life-giving Spirit of God. Now notice John 1:16 says that we have received fullness and we are supplied with grace after grace. Spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing. We have favor after favor, gift after gift. Do you notice the more factor here? So it doesn't stop at the entry point. It's almost like when you enter kindergarten in grade school, right? Well, then next year you don't go to kindergarten again, right? You go to first grade and then second grade and, you know, on and on and on. You know, the same thing applies in the realm of spiritual things. There's a point of entry, but we should not remain in a stage of infancy. That's why there is more, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us along. There is a progression. There is a going deeper principle. We enter into fullness, but then there is more and more and more. And the progression is the direct work of the Holy Spirit. How deep we go, how far we mature depends on us, of application. Because we have to apply ourselves. You know, we have to grow. We have to increase in the things of God. So this advancement into fullness, think of this, it moves us from salvation. When somebody becomes a born-again Christian, what's the next thing for them to do? Thank you, Becky. They move from salvation to water baptism. Does it stop there? We move from water baptism to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Does it stop there? No, because we move from the baptism of the Holy Spirit to subsequent infillings of the Holy Spirit. So from these, we keep moving into the more factor. From being filled with the Holy Spirit, we advance through the experience of more power of the Holy Spirit. From more power of the Holy Spirit, we move to the release of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I like to call this God's career path, because His path is a path of promotion and exploits for the kingdom of God. Notice how Paul says it to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 3. He says that you may really come to know practically through, now this is very important, through experience for yourselves. So could I ask you a question tonight? Could I pose a question to you? Where are you in your level of experience and experiencing God? God is real. The Holy Spirit is powerful. And we can experience it. And this is exactly what Paul is addressing to the church body at Ephesus. He says that you may come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. Now think of that. There's a lot of, in the church world today, there's a lot of gospel ministry, doctrine without any life of the Spirit. And if there's, you know, it's like Paul said, if the life of the Spirit is not there, then the letter of the law is dead. There's no life in it. And there's so many churches and so many believers, you know, they have a strong belief system. They may be solid doctrinally, but they have not experienced. Are y'all with me? They have not experienced the fullness. They have not experienced all that God has for them. And that's what he's talking about right here. He says, when we experience this incredible move of God, this ministry of the Holy Spirit, it brings us beyond mere knowledge because it brings us into experience. He says that you may be filled through all your being, through all of your being, unto all the fullness of God, that you may have the richest measure of the divine presence. And I love what he says next. And become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Wholly filled and flooded with God himself. So think of that in the realm of advancing into fullness. We have to advance in it. See, it is a more factor. How many people reach a point of stagnation where they're not going any further? You know, listen, I've been born again for a long time. I've been preaching the gospel. I've been teaching and preaching the gospel for a long time now. I consider myself a very seasoned minister of the gospel. But I don't stop there. You know, I don't reach a point to where I say, man, I have arrived. You know that's pride, right? You never reach that point. Because as long as we are on this side of heaven, we are still, I mean, we're talking about God. Theology is simply a study of God. How do you ever reach a point to where that ends? You don't. You keep going deeper and deeper. Why? Because there is more. Hallelujah. All right, here's another thought I want to submit to you. Moving into the new. Jesus demonstrated this in his teachings about the Holy Spirit. Jesus moved them, think of this, his followers during his earthly ministry, Jesus moved his followers from the baptism of John to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right there is the more factor, right? He moved them from the baptism of water to the baptism of fire. Are you still with me? Oh my. Jesus, he's been crucified, buried, resurrection. He is resurrected. He is about to ascend to heaven. And the Bible says that he appeared for 40 days in supernatural appearances with many infallible proofs to his followers. And he gave them this word right before his ascension to heaven. He said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Let's backtrack a little bit into the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 12, Jesus said this. He said, "I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish that it were already kindled." Notice this statement. "I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and how greatly and sorely I am urged on, impelled, constrained until it is accomplished." What is he talking about? He's talking about the more factor. He's trying to move them from the old into the new. We move from the Old Testament, which is the foundation for the New Testament. We move from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, into the new. So to receive more, we must advance to the new. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, think of this. He was trying to move the religious leaders from the law to grace, from the old to the new. He was trying to move them from tradition to truth. I mean, we see it. You can go and study all of the Gospels, and you can see him attempting to do that. He wanted to move them from hard-heartedness to a loving attitude. I mean, he was constantly wanting to move them, trying to move them from the old to the new. He was introducing the more factor, but they so often rejected it. Why? Because they were hung up on the law, and Jesus was wanting to bring them into the Spirit. The same thing applies to believers today. God is wanting to move us along. He's wanting to bring us from the old to the new. Here's an interesting illustration in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5. Jesus has entered the synagogue, and his custom was to go into the synagogue and teach. Because remember, Jesus was a rabbi. So his custom was to go on the Sabbath into the synagogue and to teach. All right, so on this particular Sabbath, there is a man in the congregation who the Bible says had a withered hand. And Jesus, how many of you know when Jesus is in the house, things are going to happen? Hallelujah. Why? Because there is a more factor. Hallelujah. So something supernatural is about to happen. And the scripture doesn't record this, but I am convinced that this man knew that if he went to the synagogue and Jesus was teaching, that there would be a miracle that would unfold. So Jesus goes into the synagogue, and you know what he did? He read the room. Y'all know how to read the room? Y'all know how to leave the room? You need to read the room, right? Jesus read the room. So remember, they're hung up on the law. They're hung up on tradition. And it's the Sabbath day. And all eyes were on him. So then Jesus, in verse 5, it says, when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. The question was, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath day? Is it okay to do good on the Sabbath day? But they kept silent. They wouldn't say a word. And that's when Jesus began to address them, and he was angry. But they were hung up. See, what is he trying to do? He's trying to move them from the old into the new. Same thing with you and I. God wants to move us from the old into the new. That's exactly what happens at salvation. We move from the old life into a new life. There's a point of origin. But then we shouldn't stop there, you know, because there's a more factor. So we keep moving forward, we keep advancing because God has more. Let me give you another example. On the day of the feast, this is recorded in John chapter 7. Let me just say something about John chapter 7 before I read these verses to you. Of course, they're on the screen. This was a feast, a holiday, a festival. And it was called the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Tents, or the Feast of Booths. And it was to commemorate God bringing the Israelites through the wilderness. It was a 40-year wilderness wandering. God brought them through, and to commemorate that, they instituted a festival or a feast that was called the Feast of Tabernacles. And what they would do, they would all gather in Jerusalem or around Jerusalem, and they would make tents. And they would stay in those tents for 7 days because they were memorializing, they were remembering the wilderness wanderings that they went through in the Old Testament. So they did that for 7 days. And they would make these tents out of tree branches and parts of trees. When I went to Rwanda in August, we went to the hotel where the movie Hotel Rwanda was filmed. If you've never seen that movie, I highly recommend it because the guy that managed the hotel saved about 1,000 people's lives from being killed during the genocide in Rwanda. So when we went there in August to preach in these churches and do this seminar, I wanted to go visit that hotel. So we had the pastor that was our host bring us there, and we went down by the pool area. And when we went down by the pool area, I'm looking at this hut that they had built. And it was made out of trees and out of branches. And I'm looking at how they laid this thing out, and I'm looking at that, and I'm like, now surely rain has to get through that. They said rain does not come through that because of the way that they overlay it and the thickness of it. And that's similar to what the Israelites did when they would commemorate this feast. They would erect their own tent, because when they were in the wilderness, guess what they lived in? They lived in tents, temporary structures. So they, on this day of the feast, they are commemorating that. So that's kind of, I always like to give you history when I'm preaching or teaching the word, because I always want you to learn something. You know, so that's what they were gathered for in John chapter 7. And then we have the story. So on the last day, the great day of the feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus introduced the new when he promised rivers of living water to anyone who was thirsty. If you are thirsty, you can come and drink. The analogy of rivers of living water teaches us that when people enter the more factor, they will experience more than ever before. And that is what Jesus was inviting them to. My friends, that's exactly what he is inviting you and I into, to experience more. And that's why I'm talking to you tonight in this lesson about the more factor. More that they would experience more than ever before. They will have the overflowing life of the Holy Spirit, and this life will flow out to others. How many of you know that God doesn't make this investment, this deposit in us, to keep it to ourselves? We have to release it. Amen? We release it. You know, he gives us this power, he gives us this anointing, and then we release it to people in our circle. Our family members, our work circle, school circle, you know, whatever is your circle of influence, your sphere, God wants his gifting, his anointing to flow through you and to minister to other people, to touch other people, to influence other people. You don't realize how much influence you have for Christ, you know, because people are always watching and they see your light. And Jesus said, "Let your light so shine," right? So that people would see it. So Jesus introduced the more factor here. So we're talking about moving into the new. So Jesus introduced the new when he promised rivers of living water. They would experience more. So the Holy Spirit represented a new era, a new covenant, a new experience, a new life. The Holy Spirit introduced the more factor. You can have more than you have right now. Thank God that you can. You can have more. You can have more than you have right now. You can be completely immersed into the experience of the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is believe. He's given to those who believe. The Father wants all of his people to enter into the new so they can experience the more. Listen to what we read here in Luke 11, 13. Jesus said, "So if you sinful people," know how he's addressing, you know, the crowd following, "if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" All right, so he's trying to get the message to them about the new. The Holy Spirit is the new. So he said, even people who have a sinful heart, which everybody is born with that, he said, they still know how to take care of their children, right? They know how to give gifts to their children. Isn't it amazing that he says, how much more? We're talking about the more factor, right? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Thank God that there is more. He gives us more. You know, now we have in the church world what is called cessationists. They believe that there's no move of God. There's no miracles anymore. There's no healings anymore. There's no baptism of the Holy Spirit anymore. I am not of that school. You know, I don't find any Bible translation that divides what's relevant and what is not relevant anymore. I believe in the whole Word of God. I believe that there are still healings and miracles. And, you know, God is God and I am not. And he does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Amen. I don't find any verse in Scripture that says, if there was a verse that said a miracle stopped, then I would be okay and say, well, we'll prepare for heaven and wait for that. But I don't find any chapter or verse that tells me that. I find quite the opposite. I find that Jesus told his followers, he said, greater works are you going to do? He said, I'm going to the Father, but the Spirit's coming. And he said, what I did, he said, you're going to do even more than that. You're going to impact more than that. I mean, how is that even possible? It's possible because of the more factor. Amen? The more factor. All right, let me move to the final point to expound upon here. More means going beyond. It means going beyond. Here's a verse that I quote all the time, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more. Are y'all still with me? That they may have it more. He's talking about the more factor, right? That they may have it more abundantly. So more means going beyond what we have. Hallelujah. Jesus, when I got born again, this was one of the very first verses that really, really spoke to me. And it stayed near and dear to my heart. And it's Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7 says, keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Why? Because there is more, right? Why else would anybody do that? Because there is more. Let me visit again. This is the same verse that I visited with you, but this one is taken out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. So here he says, and this is in the Amplified, if you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, here we go again, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him? I want to just submit that to you tonight. I want you to leave out of here tonight with an understanding God wants to give you more than you've ever had. He wants to do more for you than you've ever experienced before. He wants you to have more than you've ever had. He wants you to go beyond where you've ever been. I mean, it says so. So, but here's an interesting thing. The meaning of the word more, Jesus said, I've come to give you life more abundantly. Then he said that the Father will give the gifts of the Holy Spirit much more to those who are asking, those who are praying, those who are seeking. So the meaning of the word more simply means to go beyond what we presently have. It means not necessarily a higher quantity, but it means a better quality. Get that one. It's a quality. God wants us to have more. Now, here's the thing. The deeper that I go in God, the more mature I become, the more understanding of the things of God that I have, every area of my life is managed better. Are y'all with me on that? So that means that I'm able to manage my life better. I'm able to manage my time better. I'm able to manage finances better because of the maturity process and the wisdom that is imparted. It's because of the more factor. See, people's lives are so out of whack because they're spiritually messed up. They are disconnected from God. So when people get connected to God and they step into, remember, there has to be a point of entry, right? So the entry point is Christ into salvation, water baptism, but then we get filled with the Holy Spirit. So this meaning of the word more simply means to go beyond what we presently have because there is a better quality. God wants us to have more. He wants us to have more of Christ. He wants us to have more of the power of the Holy Spirit, more victory, more miracles, more souls. What is he teaching us? More, more, more. That's why we entitled this series, There Is More. Hallelujah. Jesus gives us life, and he gives us that life more abundantly. Now, the word abundant in the original language, it simply means over and above, beyond measure, an excellent quality. So abundant life is a term that refers to a deeper, and this is what I'm talking about right here, it refers to a deeper spiritual condition. So the deeper I go into God, the more I experience the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the more powerful my life is, the more anointed my life is, I'm smarter and I'm wiser because of this deepening. Because you begin to see things differently. Because of, you know, we have entered into this incredible spiritual condition. And it all happens through Christ, and then it is perpetuated by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A deeper spiritual condition. The key. That's the key dynamic of abundant life. A deeper spiritual condition. That happens by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the more factor. That's why Jesus said, how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So my friend, are you asking? If not, you can start. It can begin tonight, this month, this year. It can be your best year ever if it's your best year spiritually. So the Holy Spirit takes us beyond where we are and into the deeper realm of experience with God. Let me share this one with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or excuse me, chapter 2. I've read this verse of Scripture so many times in doing funeral services over the years. And most people read it and look at it, and even ministers of the gospel look at it as having a heavenly reference, you know, or a eternal reference. And definitely it does have that. But if we really look at it in the context, it's not just talking about what we experience in heaven. It's talking about what we experience here on this earth. So let's visit it for just a moment. He says, but on the contrary, as the Scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. The benefits that he has bestowed. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels, and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. You know, if you read that, I mean, he's really talking about not necessarily waiting for what's going to happen in heaven and all that awaits the believers there. He's talking about all that God has predestined in this life that we are walking out right now, and all that he wants to do and all that he wants to accomplish. How do we know that? Because the scripture tells us that everything works by the more factor. The more factor simply means we move beyond being spectators and we become participators. So to receive the more that God has for us will require, here's the fine print. You ever hear these car ads on the radio? You can get this brand new car with only down and forth out of that. You ever heard? I was like, how do they even do that? And you know what they're doing is they're going over the fine print, but they're going over it so you don't understand it. But God wants us to understand the fine print. And the fine print is that it will require a yielding and a cooperation from you and I with the Holy Spirit. To receive the more that God has for us will require a yielding to God. We come with an open hand and an open heart. We come with a yielding of our spirit, and we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we move into the dimension of the more factor. My hope and prayer for the people of West Point Church is that they will move into the more factor. Hallelujah. And all of my effort and energy is expended towards that end. Notice how Paul says this, and I'll leave you with this one right here. In Romans chapter 8, because, you know, we must understand that the more factor is going to require time with God. It's going to require prayer. And that's why Jesus, first we read Acts 1:5, before his ascension, he gave specific instruction, do not leave Jerusalem. Remember, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. But do not leave Jerusalem until you have received the promise of the Father. And they didn't. And then they went out and changed their world. So he instructed them specifically, get to the prayer meeting. Matthew 7 that we just read. What's he talking about? Get to the prayer meeting. Ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. See, if I'm going to move into the more factor, I'm going to have to learn. We talked about it last week. The communion of the Holy Spirit. The intimacy of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have to walk in an incredible relationship with him. And I have to come to the understanding that without him, I am nothing. When I stand before you to preach the word of God on Sundays, I stand with an anointing because I stand having poured myself out to God for that anointing. Because I know without that anointing, my words are nothing. My message is nothing. But it's the Spirit of God that drives the word. He's the one that does all the work. Without him, you know, it has no life. It can't accomplish anything. So the Holy Spirit, he is the more factor. And he will bring us into the more dynamic. So Paul said this in Romans 8. He said, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. Now let me stop just for a moment right there. Because if you live in this life long enough, you will come to things that are kind of beyond your expertise. You will come to areas that or circumstances or situations that you may not know how to handle. What is the next step? My friend, that is when the more factor begins to operate on a different level. Because he says that the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. He says, we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication, pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Boy, you want to talk about the more factor. There it is right there. I tell you, you know, as ministers of the gospel, I think all pastors deal with this. We have to deal with the devil's voice. You know, I've come out of meetings that were so on fire, so powerful, and just poured my soul out for God. And I'll leave out of there and I'll hear a voice that says, they'll say, "You can't preach. You ain't nothing." I'm serious. You can pray a little, but you can't preach. But then I understand that that's a voice of darkness that tries to distract and discourage and weaken and bring down. And there are so many ministers of the gospel that, you know, that throw in the towel because of discouragement and despondency and, you know, and just dealing with all of those kind of things. But thank God that we can have the more factor. Because when the more factor is operating, those voices might come, and then the more factor will say, "Shut up, devil. In the name of Jesus, the devil is a liar, and God is true." So in any moment of weakness, there's going to be the more factor. You want to go deeper in God, you're going to have the more factor. There's more. Now, next week, boy, I'm going to get into the real nitty-gritty. We're going to talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about, you know, why do we need to speak in tongues? Listen. I'm just going to tell you this, man. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit as a young man, all of a sudden, my authority level just kind of, I was like, you know, a Super Bowl Christian. I just kind of hit my stride, and I'm moving, man. I'm moving and moving and moving. Praying was different. Worship was different. Everything was different. When you hit that stride, you see, you get on a wavelength of a radar that the devil don't understand, and he don't know how to counter it. He doesn't. He don't understand it, and that's why the scripture says it's the language of the Spirit. No man understands it. The demons don't understand it. Hallelujah. Think what would happen if we got West Point Church 100% filled with the Holy Ghost. And people begin to walk in power and authority and realize that God has called all of us to be ministers of the gospel. I'm not talking pulpit wise, but he's called all of us to be ministers of the gospel. Amen. Because there is a more factor. I want to step into the more factor.